We're listening to Maria Paplavskaya singing the famous Jewel song from the Metropolitan Opera's current production of Charles Gounod's Faust, in which she plays the role of Margarita. Critics have raved, using words like luminous, rich, and beautiful to describe her voice, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome her to our program today. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
Got to spend 60 years working on Faust. How closely does Charles Gounod's opera follow his masterwork? Have you ever looked at the original play?
Yes, actually, but I saw it in Moscow, and it was played in Russian, and it's so close to Bulgakov's Master and Marguerite. Mm-hmm. So it was very emotional for me, and I remember I came back home in tears.
Well, because it reminds you of Bulgakov, or simply because this is a...
It's a very human play. It touches many of the human characters.
And it's interesting that Goethe from the start wanted to see it set to music. He imagined that Mozart would write the opera because, I guess, Don Giovanni also is kind of close in some ways. But of course, Mozart was dead by the time he completed it. And it wasn't turned into an opera until several decades after Goethe died.
Yes. Indeed, and many, many composers brought to this idea of writing, and they took Goethe's work as their idea of writing significant operas like Le Damnation, The Damnation of Faust, you know, and the song cycles, and then Prokofiev wrote his Fiery Angel, also based on this work.
Because it's a very powerful story. But it's interesting, despite the darkness of the story, Gounod's musical take on it is more romantic than sinister.
Yes, Gounod, being a pupil of the great romantic French school of composition, of course he took the most romantic and beautiful sides, even in The Devil.
Well, it is an odd juxtaposition, this German play then picked up by somebody who writes in the French Romantic tradition.
Yeah, it was a lot of ballet, by the way.
Well, there is dance here as well, but not of the traditional ballet that we would have seen in the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century.
Yes, but we don't drink coffee and go champagne or going to do our business meetings in the theater. We come to watch and listen to the opera.
Do you concern yourself with the history? Because there's really interesting history here. The first Metropolitan Opera House opened with Faust in 1883 and has performed it hundreds of times since then. Until recently, it has been one of the most popular operas.
Yeah, because it's one of the jewels in the crown of French romantic opera, and is performed by the greatest singers, starting from such singers like Amelita Galli-Curci, Lily Pons, and Enrico Caruso sang the role of Faust. So all the greatest singers from the past and the greatest singers of the present century, like the great John Sutherland and René Mirella Freni and Renata Scotto and René Fleming and all the biggest, Nathalie Dessay.
And when you were cast in it, was the first thought you had, oh, I'll get to sing the Jewel song? Because that's been so popular with sopranos. I mean, many sing it in recitals and in concerts. It's I think a lot more popular than the opera itself.
I think is a little more the song itself, the Jewel song. It has let's say two turns for the song. One is when the girl first discovers her natural beauty. And the second, when she discovers what to do with the natural beauty, that it's really an attraction, and she discovers her place as a woman in life. So it's kind of a time of a purity, I'd say, for the girl, and to discover a woman in her. I got an offer first of all, it was a great honor and joy for me to know that I'll be singing in this production. And it was very interesting because I watched the designers' shows and I saw the originally performed this production in English National Opera 2008.
With this unique set.
With this set, yes. Mm. And also I saw where this set and where this particular staging came from, 1973 Faust at the Opéra de Paris. I found this recording. So I did my research on the staging. And it's very important for me because it helps to develop the character. It helps to move it from the ordinary line to something which will be mine.
Because more and more opera singers are also thinking about the acting part. There was a time when some of the great ones would stand there and just belt out the arias and forget about
acting. And we all will sit there and enjoy it.
Well, we loved it because the music was beautiful. But now we expect the music to be sung just as beautifully and for the acting to be comparable to acting we see elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a human nature to expect something more when you already have it. So it's all about Faust.
So have you studied? Where did you start thinking about acting when you were in Russia?
Yes, I was always interested. It took a great time to learn about acting and about the Stanislavski Merkold school. And
so you bring Stanislavski to opera?
Yes. I would say so, and I basically in England also since 2005 I was with the Young Artist Program at Covent Garden, and we had the brilliant coaches, present actresses, and the friends of mine who like Carolyn Blackiston or Sheila Ruskin, who are actresses with BBC, and I took a great English school of acting as well, because we are different with acting school with the way we take human emotions.
Well, it's interesting to note that opera singers today are so much more international than they were in the past. If you had grown up 30 years ago, you would have grown up only in Russian opera. I don't know whether Gounod's Faust would have even been part of the repertoire.
Well, we performed Gounod's Faust since Nezhdanova times, and it was performed throughout the Bolshoi Theatre in 1950 and 1960, of course, naturally in Russian language. Mm-hmm. With a lot of ooh.
Well, this is very light stuff. I can imagine the Russian language being a little difficult to wrap your tongue around in some of this music.
Yes, it's just complete different taste for the vocal culture.
The opera opens with Faust, who's played by Jonas Kaufman in this production, as a scientist frustrated with the way his life has gone. And he curses God and calls upon Mephistopheles, the devil, who's played by the great René Pop, to help him. And then he's transformed back to his youth. And he's hoping for a second chance. And your character becomes part of the second chance.
Well, my character, as Des saw it in the production, is the the essence of all wishes for beauty, which Faust had in him, the quintessence of him seeing what woman is, and the most collective of all the beautiful things in Faust's life.
And he's immediately smitten by Marguerite, and then joins a dance where he attempts to seduce her, and she first resists and then gives in.
I would say...
The power of the devil?
No, she discovers, again, as coming back to the Jewel song, she discovers the woman side in her. And, you know, women, we always connected one side to a devil, they say. So, and as soon as I discover it, I just become different, and I long and I want for this love no less than the Faust does.
My guest is Marina Poplavskaya, who...
Thank you.
I got it right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And she is playing Margarita in the current production of Faust at the Metropolitan Opera. an important opera for many reasons, including the fact that it was the very first opera ever performed at the original Metropolitan Opera House. This production is set sometime between the two world wars. Why was the development of the atomic bomb selected as the backdrop to this this laboratory that Faust has?
Because, like in the old beauty, it looks beautiful and so many people are involved creating it. And it's something which human creates, which we create. It's we can build the most beautiful things and the most dangerous and powerful killer.
And this is about beauty and danger.
And it's kind of, it brings a parallel to the love and beauty of a woman.
Well, the opera does lend itself to a modern setting, even though it was written 150 years ago. The detonation of the bomb in Act 3 happens as demons are singing about white light.
Yes.
So it seems like, I don't know whether it was Goethe or Gounod, but was quite prescient about how the world would develop. Or maybe
there was a brilliant founding of this, that he put this white light explosion as the beautiful end to human belief as well, when they sing about the white light and I pray God to give us all salvation, and the salvation comes with the human end.
Weren't your parents scientists?
My aunt is a scientist and she works in the Carmel in Israel.
Oh, so an aunt. What
yes,
did
my
your parents
aunt.
Do? Did you grow up in a musical
my mother,
household?
No, I grew up in Moscow. My mother worked in the laboratory, but then she taught students of the organic chemistry, which builds on the preservation for the food, for products.
You auditioned for the Bolshoi chorus at the age of 8 without your parents' permission?
That was bad, I know.
Did they encourage you after you were accepted to pursue a career in music?
My parents just left me be, and they watched me carefully. I know it was very wise and very brave of them.
Well, you had gotten on a bus all by yourself at the age
child.
Of eight.
Yeah, yes, I just gotten in. I took a tube, and it was an hour and a half just traveling time to the other end of Moscow.
And what led you to do that?
I always wanted to. I loved singing in the chorus, and I loved this blend of human voices. It brought something very, very beautiful and special to me.
So did you impress the director?
After three and a half hour waiting, yes, I did impress the director, because after I sang Russian folk song, he wanted to check me with a musical scale, and I said, why on earth you want to do that? And he said, just to check if you have rhythm and musical pitch. And I said, well, I have a perfect musical pitch. That's one I sure, you know, I do. But I'm tired, you know, I'm hungry. All these parents feeding their sandwiches to their precious children. And I'm alone here. No mom, no dad here, you know, holding the thermos with hot tea and sandwich. I'm hungry. Just let me go. If you need me, you call me. If you don't, I'll find another chorus.
So that impressed him.
The secretary called and she said, you know, he still remembers what you said.
Well, you're playing a young woman here. One of the things that I've learned from speaking to opera singers is that voices take a while to mature, and usually one doesn't reach her optimal talent until late in the 20s, early 30s. Has that been the case with you as well?
That's depend on the voice, because normally if we take to the original times of the bel canto school, which translates as a beautiful singing, Caruso started after 36, and his voice developed to his prime at his 40. And also if you take Joan Sutherland at her 42, she was at her prime. So it takes time for the voices. But of course the voice is a bass, and the coloratura soprano, it develops a bit with the, probably is the hormonal state, something with the body, has to do with the body development. And Well, it's all individual. Anyway.
Well, one of the things that one notices immediately is not only do you sing beautifully and have a gorgeous voice, but you have a very powerful voice. And is that something that was always there?
Yes, I guess it has to do with the vocal school and with the way we focus the voice. It's like playing the instrument. Singing has to do something with the playing of instrument.
You're not with the Met itself. You've done a number of productions at the Met.
I'm a freelancer.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
Unfortunately, yes.
Is that unfortunate? Because I would think that it's also wonderful to be able to perform in Paris one day, London the next, some of the greatest opera houses in Italy, then Berlin and the Met.
In my vision, theater is like one huge space where we all experiment and where we all develop on each other and where we all learn from each other. It's like a great school of life. And my colleagues and people I work and perform with, they are like my family.
Well, you've had a couple of breaks. Like you were a last-minute replacement as Donna Anna in Don Giovanni at the Royal Opera House. And the Evening Standard in England wrote, this was Poplavskaya's big break, and she dazzled. And you get these fabulous reviews.
They're very generous. I'm truly grateful. And actually, replacing Anna in the middle of a performance, it was quite something, because I came to study from her to see her beautiful, beautiful performances, Donna Anna. And naturally, I had a glass of champagne. And then when they came to collect me from the loge,
you were a little loose.
Squeezed me into Donna's Anna dress. Of course, no one mentioned that Donna Anna was a bit high in the second part.
Well, you also made your Met debut in 2007 in Prokofiev's War and Peace. And you were originally scheduled to be in the second cast.
I don't know what's happened. I guess that the first cast had to do something with their singing, Otello. And it's them, and I don't know it. But I'm very grateful I was chosen.
Well, maybe it's because you're so good. A Royal Opera poster once called you turbocharged. The brochure for that production of Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin ended with the tagline, va-va-voom.
Okay. Oh, dear. Yeah, that made me laugh as well. I guess it's something to do with the promotion, so it's...
Just one more thing. On Saturday, during the performance, mezzo-soprano Wendy White fell 8 feet onto the stage from a platform. Is she okay?
Oh, well, it still brings me very emotional because it was hard for us to see Wendy in this state. And yes, she's okay. And I inquired, and our supervisors, they called us because we all bended as a team, as a family. Things happen on stage, sometimes things which beyond the human responsibility. And what normally we are very safe on stage, and people check and everything, and they look after us really carefully. And it happened, and unfortunately, such things sometimes happens.
How many more performances of Faust are there?
On the 20th is my last performance in December, and then we will have another cast, Roberto Alagna and Marlene Bistrom, singing two performances, and in January with Ferruccio Forlanetto and Joseph Calea.
Well, here we have you singing Tucche di... what is it? Che si cinta? From Turandot, and my Italian
is
not so good.
Yes, you are made of ice, but your heart will know love and melt from it.
Marina Poplavskaya, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you.